I want to thank Brother Jordan for his prayer on my behalf and for each one of us and for each one of you who have been praying. We know you're a praying congregation, and we have appreciated that. The Lord has been good to me and has spared my life. And even though he wouldn't have spared my life, he's still good. And we need to praise his holy name. And I want to thank you personally, each one of you, for your love and your phone calls, your cards, and scrapbooks, and all the blessings you have been to us. My wife and I have surely been blessed from you, from God. Later on this spring, I've been asked to teach some sessions, and I've been led along the line of some lessons from a cloud of witnesses. Or maybe we would entitle Running with the Giants. And as I was working on material for this, I realized that we can look at these witnesses, these giants of faith. But as I studied this, I realized there was one above all other that we need to look to, and that's Jesus Christ. So we're going to center in more on that this morning. In the New Testament, the Christian life is repeatedly compared to everyday events and practices. Paul counsels us to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ in Hebrews 2:2-3, and to put on the full armor of God in Ephesians 6:11. Jesus spoke of we as Christians as light and salt in the world in Matthew 5:13-16. Paul spoke much about running the race. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, running a race. In Galatians 5:7, that says running well. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. As we run this short race, and it is a short race compared to eternity here on this earth, all of us need encouragement to keep running faithfully. We all heard a tragedy in Japan. We can't hardly comprehend the heartaches and the pain and the suffering. But loved ones, that's minor compared to what's going to happen before too long, according to Revelation. So we need to be encouraged to be faithful, to run the race faithfully. Let us look at some of these cloud of witnesses to help us run in that race. First of all, let us look around at the winners. In Hebrews 12:1, the great cloud of witnesses were introduced to us in Hebrews 11. They are the heroes of faith. This is not suggesting that these brothers and sisters are now in heaven watching us run our race. Because I feel that if they were, there would be some heartache to them. And there's no heartache in heaven. But I believe they are bearing witnesses to us by their lives and faith in God and God's word. That God can see us through every situation of life. It doesn't matter how hard it is. I'm sure if they could, they would cheer us on and encourage us to be faithful because of what they're experiencing this very moment. God bore a witness in them and his faithfulness in all their experiences of life, and their commitment to trust in the Lord in all things is a witness to us to keep our faith in him and his holy word. We can depend on his faithfulness. He can be trusted. God can always be trusted. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And then verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice and came, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So I think as we look at these giants of faith, we should be encouraged to be faithful to our Lord. Romans 15:4 also stresses that. For whatsoever things were written aforetime about those in the past were written for our learning, that we through patience and comforts of the Scriptures might have hope. Patience and comfort of God's Word through faithful brethren and sisters gives us hope because God is always faithful. Patience means endurance. Comfort means encouragement. One way to develop encouragement and endurance is to study godly men and women of the Old Testament who ran the race and won. We think of Noah and Esther and Joseph and Moses and Abraham and David and the servant girl. You know, if we have trouble with our family, we need to read about Joseph. There wasn't too much of a mixed up family any worse than Joseph's family. If we think your job is too big for you, we need to study the life of Moses, who led the children of Israel in 40 years of rebellious people and what he went through. If we're tempted to retaliate, need to see how David handled his problem, even when Saul tried to kill him a number of times. Secondly, we need to look to ourselves. It says here in chapter 12 of verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let's look to ourselves. First of all, we are to lay aside every weight. One problem that runners have is weight. Several years ago, the winner of the recent Olympic gold medal for the 100 meter came to America for a track meet. He was considered the world's fastest man. But when he ran the preliminary heat, he did not even qualify. Why? He was overweight. Because of a few pounds, he was no longer a winner. Let's look at our lives as Christians. What are the weights that we need to lay aside? You know, when the Holy Spirit reminds us or convicts us of a certain habit or condition, old nature will ask, what's wrong with that? Just what's wrong with that? But usually when we ask that question, we know what the answer is from the Lord. We know it's affecting our race for the Lord. The problem is not what the weight is, but is what the weight is doing. It keeps us from running well for our Lord. You remember David was going out to battle against the giant. He was asked to put on Saul's armor. But he realized it would be a weight that would hinder his ability to serve his God. God's desire for David was to have faith in him with a sling and five little stones. What weight do you need to lay aside? I think that too many times we as Christians forget that there's a devil who's a liar and a deceiver and will do all it's possible to get us, our own nature, to justify any weight that should be laid aside. Would it be a wrong attitude toward a brother or a sister? Would it be a desire to dress to attract attention to my fleshly body instead of to have an appearance that would honor and glorify God to every person who sees us? There are many weights that we may feel do not hinder us in the race for the Lord, but because of them, we cannot be what God desires in our lives. It could be the music we listen to. It too could be what we're looking at. We live in a time of videos. Videos everywhere. The internet, television. Are these weights that are dragging us down? Maybe the books we're reading. There's books everywhere. And I love to read. That's one of my hobbies. But we have to be careful what we're reading. Places we go. How do we spend God's resources that God has placed into our hands? We're blessed here in America, but are we using them as God would have us to? How about the use of our time? You know, many Christians don't have time to have a personal devotion, quiet time with the Lord every day. They don't have time, they say. But the devil makes sure we have time for a lot of other things. Too busy. For too busy to have time with the Lord. For too busy to have prayer, studying God's word. There's something wrong. There's some weights that need to be removed. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, and the sin which does easily beset us. What may that sin be in your life? What may that sin be in my life? Could it be unbelief, not taking God at his word? The phrase by faith or through faith is used 21 times in Hebrews 11, reminding us that it is faith in Christ and his word that enables us to endure. When God's word calls sin, do we take seriously his eternal word? And do we call it sin in our life, whether we're enjoying it or not? Adam and Eve did not take sin seriously. How about us? Is homosexuality a greater sin than divorce and remarriage? Could we be getting used to the dark by allowing those weights of not accepting God's eternal word to believe and to live by? In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. 1 Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Not how did we just start, but how are we ending? As we allow the Holy Spirit to touch our lives, do we need to lay aside some things, or we will not end well? It's 64 years ago that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I've been preaching the gospel for 41 years. And I may have started out right, loved ones, but I want to end right. And we all got to be careful of that. We all got to be careful of that. Thirdly, we want to look at looking at our perfect example. And this is the one we want to lift up this morning. Verse 2 of chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. As we run our race of life and put it into everyday living lessons, we learn from the counter witnesses in chapter 11. But we need to realize there has never been and there only be one perfect example, and that is Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, a perfect example to follow. It is possible for us to try to run this race depending on human ability and achievements. In verse 2, Hebrews 12 reminds us that Jesus is the author, originator, and the finisher of our faith. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, "For we not have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." What an example of perfect life. Perfect. Never sinned. Jesus lived the supreme life of faith. When the devil tempted him in the wilderness, his reply each time was expressed by his trust in his Father and his Word, whether it was for food or the Father's protection. In John 5:30, he said, "I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." How am I doing in that today? How are you doing? In the Garden of Eden, he prayed. It says he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as I will." He prayed that three times. He knew what was best. He knew what the Father wanted. But he knew what was ahead and how terrible the suffering would be. And that's why he prayed that prayer. Whenever the prospect of suffering, he trusted his Father. His Father's will was what he lived by and died for. What is hindering God's will in your life or in my life? The faith of all the Hebrews 11 together could not match the faith of the Son of God. They were wonderful witnesses and examples of faith. But Jesus is a perfect example of faith as the author and the finisher. Take notice in his word, in the Word of God, he continued to trust his Father until he could say, "It is finished." In John 19 and verse 30. And then in Luke 24:23, verse 46, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." His life, from birth to death, was totally committed into his Father's hands. How committed am I this morning? How committed are you? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Just as Jesus, by faith, believed and trusted his Father, you and I need to look to Jesus as our basis of living power by faith through the Holy Spirit. The Christian life involves hard work. Don't let anybody kid you, it doesn't. We have an enemy, three enemies, our old nature, the world, and the devil. And it's hard work. It requires us to give up whatever endangers a relationship with God. We need to run with endurance against the sin with the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to keep running for Christ, not ourselves, always looking to him. He endured the cross. Our Lord endured far more than any of the Hebrews of faith in Hebrews 11. I feel many times that none of us comprehend fully the suffering of our Lord. We just stop to think how God created this vast universe and even mankind, and in his own creation rejects him. They cried out for his blood. They wanted their own way. Can we see him beaten and mocked and spit upon, scourged, nailed to the cross, and left to die worse than an animal? It says here about he despising the shame. Do we realize how shameful it was to die on a cross? That was the most terrible way to punish anyone, to die on a cross. And even to expose the nakedness of his body. Why? Why did he do all this? Because of his love for us. We can't hardly comprehend how cruel mankind can be and what they did to our Savior and to our Lord. When we think of all the weight of my sin and all the weight of your sin upon him, how can we justify any disobedience in our life? If we could feel the suffering that he bore because of that sin. What is my besetting sin? What is your besetting sin? You know what it is. God knows what it is. Are you willing to deal with it? Chapter 12 and verse 3, who for the joy set before him. This epistle of Hebrews emphasizes the importance of the future hope. It encourages them and us to follow Christ's example and to look ahead by faith. Only what was at the end of the race could have motivated Jesus to leave what he did, his sweet fellowship with the Father, and endure what he did. I believe that Jesus ran this race for two things. First of all, he did it for the joy that was set before him. And I think the one of the joys set before him was the fact that mankind was so sinful and wicked and headed for hell. And when the blood was applied by faith and repentance and restitution and baptism, we're redeemed. Redeemed! God's children. And I think the second was sitting down at the right hand at the throne of God because he obeyed his Father. He loved him, and he did everything he asked him to do. In John 17 and verse 5, Jesus said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus gained his reward by glorifying his Father here on earth and fully doing his Father's will. What is your goal at the end of your life? What is your goal? In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Are we pressing toward that mark? Are we running faithfully for the Lord day by day? We have the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. And we hear here how the Lord has promised those who were faithful. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The Hebrews of faith named in Hebrews 11 lived for the future, and this enabled them to endure. In Hebrews 11:10, it says about Abraham, he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Too many times today we look at all the problems in the world instead of looking at our future. Let's look at our future and be faithful, whatever comes. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Our world's full of people who are enjoying the pleasures of sin. If we're not careful as God's people, we're taken into that. It hinders our running with Christ. Verse 26 says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Loved ones, we need to be careful not to be like Peter and get our eyes of faith off the Savior as he did. I don't know what that may be in your life, but I know what it may be in my life. And I need to deal with it. I need to get rid of it. I need to keep my eyes on Jesus. Whenever we get weary in the race of life, and we all do at times, we might feel like giving up. We need to look to Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus there in verse 2. Our great example. In closing, I'd like to share a few lessons that we need to learn from the life of Jesus. There's so many we can learn. The first one is, his desire above everything else was to please his Father. Can it be said of me and said of you that that's my desire above everything else in life? To please Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord. Secondly, his love for lost souls was so evident. And that's why he came and shed his blood. How is my love for the unlovely? We've all been unlovely at times. Christ died for us. Thirdly, his willingness to stand alone in his Father's will. He was willing to stand up and tell us those who needed the Lord, they need to repent of their sins. They're living in sin. Didn't matter whether they were religious leaders or who they were. Jesus told them. He was not ashamed. Am I willing to accept God's word as his word and live by it, whatever the cost? We need to stand alone. And I think as time grows toward the last days, we need to stand alone more than we ever did before. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22, it says, beware, or the very elect will be deceived. So many today who live by faith, live with their conscience controlled by the Holy Spirit, so many have laid that aside today and have fit into the crowd. His willingness to sacrifice his precious blood for the church, his bride. What am I willing to sacrifice to lead my family in the ways of the Lord? I think that should be something that's a part of every born-again father and mother and their family. I think another lesson we learned from the life of Jesus is that my prayers are very, very important to the Lord. My prayer life is so important. In Psalm 141, verse 1, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and let the lifting up my hands as the evening sacrifice. Incense is something used to honor or to praise someone, and that should be to God, our Savior and our Lord. In Revelation 5:8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Odors and prayers of the saints, which is incense. In verse 3, another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden incense, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Many times we think of prayer as asking and pleading for God to fulfill our needs. But sincere prayer is going to the Lord with praise and honor that only he deserves, is a pleasant odor that he desires of us. How many times a day It's that odor going to the Lord with our prayers of incense. When we get weary in the race, when our faith becomes weak, we need to remember Hebrews 12:13. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. And then we need to go back to Hebrews 12:1-2. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, as well as a cloud of witnesses for our encouragement. Hebrews 13:5, Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let us run the race of life with our hand in God's hands. When God makes a promise like that, he's never going to leave us or forsake us. We can count on it. Many people make promises today, but many times they fail. But not with God. If everything I do each day were written in a book, if every evening I would see how that day's page would look, I feel that in each passing day my record would improve. My thoughtless deeds I'd rectify. All dross I would remove. Oh, help me, Lord, to not forget my record at thy throne. And that every thought and deed each day to thee is known. Dwell thou within my heart, I pray, from dawn till setting sun, that when my record is reviewed, I may hear, thou well done. That's the most important two words that we will ever hear. Well done. And we may feel, some people, maybe as fellow Christians, would say well done to us as Christians. And maybe it was and maybe it wasn't. Maybe even the world sometimes may praise us for who we are, what we do. But what's going to really count is when God says, well done. Are you going to live for that moment? I'm going to. Can we say with Apostle Paul in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. May God bless you.